It's taken me a long time to get through this. It's a short letter, and I just find it very rich. Brian, does it ever get not scary? No. Well, I suppose it's a good... Let's pray. Father, as I said earlier, we're gathered here because of what the gift that you've given us. And Lord, we long to know you more. And Lord, I pray that that would be the case today, that you would take the words, the verses that you've given me, and whatever comes out here, Lord, that it would speak to the hearts of your bride, your kids, Lord. They would leave here knowing you more, being more like you. And Lord, even knowing why we're here, what are we called for? If anyone here doesn't know you, Lord, please continue to water those seeds, Lord, and I just pray that you continue to conquer and bring victory. So please speak through me. Please use me. In your name we pray. Amen. So we're right back at Philippians chapter 1. And again, this is a fun letter. I don't think there's any correction in it. It's some a little exhorting to encourage the Philippians to, you know, some things that they can improve on, but it's so joyous, and it's a fun place to hang out. And I so enjoy Paul's heart in all this. He's in jail. As we read through this, please don't forget that. The guy's in jail, and he's wanting to reach the world for the gospel, you know, with the gospel. And he's stuck there, but he's able to make it work. He's chosen a different perspective, and he continues to preach the gospel, whether it's by these letters or by the guards that are next to him. It's pretty cool. He's kind of like the Trojan horse in there. He ended up in Rome, but not the way that he had planned it. I'm sure that wasn't his vision to get beaten and arrested and all these things, to sit in jail. That's how God did it. And there's a lot of richness in all of this. And so we'll jump in. I'd like to just start back at verse 1, and we'll cruise to the first part here. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. In this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. And so we got to a lot of this last time, but I really feel led to go back to verse 9. Hopefully you get some out of it. For me, this whole concept of, in this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. And the question is, well, how does love abound more and more with knowledge and discernment, right? In our it doesn't seem like something that you would apply to love in, of course, in today's context. And so I just found myself chewing on this a lot. You know, and this is Paul's prayer, you know, that their love would abound more and more. And in our society, you know, we touched on this a little bit last time, you know, even love is twisted, how we view it today. You know, love has become tolerant of kind of anything. You know, if you stand against something, that it's unloving. Even when your heart is correction or knowing that the fruit of something would be destructive, it's not played out that way. And so we see this divide between the foolish and the wise. You know, in Psalm 14:1, says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, and they have done abominable works. There is none who does good." But then Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." And that truth is major, right? The ones who say there are no God, they're in trouble, right? It's, they perceive to be wise, and they'll parade themselves to be wise, but the Bible says that they're fools. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So just that little bit, just the start of the fear is the beginning of wisdom, and there's a whole bunch more to go, right? And it says, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And, you know, feeding that back into verse 9, that this growth that goes on. In this process, and I find as I go through these things, I keep going back to so many things that Pastor Brian has taught through 1 Corinthians. There's so many things that run parallel in this, what we're called to be in this growth. And the reality is we're in a war between good and evil. You've heard me say that probably every time I come up here. But the struggles we go through and the things that we see going on around us, it is war. There's a real battle that's going on. And unfortunately, a lot of it is in the church. We are very divided on things that I don't know if they really matter that much. You know, and it some of it goes back to Brian's taco stand. That was a great analogy. I don't know if you came up with that, but it sticks, right? We're worried about what taco stand somebody's eating out of. And there are a lot more important things to be concerned with, and namely this relationship with God. So in this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. And I'm going to jump back to 1 Corinthians 5:1. Oops, and I apologize. Did they hand out Bibles? I forgot to, they did, okay. Because we're going to be going through a lot of scriptures, plowing through a lot of stuff, so I encourage you to have your Bibles, or at least write stuff down. So, and we just read this recently. Pastor Ryan taught on it. Chapter 5, verse 1. "It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife, and you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I indeed, as absent in the body, but present in spirit, have already judged as though I were present him who has so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven, and you may be a new lump, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not the old leaven, nor with leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Right, and so this concept of love, like it was in the Corinthian church, they boasted in their love, but it was acceptance of things that were wrong, right? And Paul's rebuke is, the world doesn't even do this, and they're lost, and they don't do this, but you're saying it's okay in the church, right? And so our sense of love in the time we live is really messed up, you know, and so Paul's prayer for the Philippians, right, the Corinthians had love without knowledge, right? They were just accepting of things and thought they were doing great. But that's not what we're called to. He said, I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge, in all discernment. And as I pondered this, you know, this knowledge and discernment and love abounding more and more, trying to think of an example. And marriage applies to like so many things, right? And this process, like you fall in love and you get married, and right, those of us who've been married a while, this, it's not really what you think it's going to be, right? You think it's, this is going to be awesome, and everything I want I'm going to get, and the other person's thinking the same thing. It doesn't take very long before the reality is, no way, that is not how this is going to be, right? And so we grow in knowledge and discernment. And I just encourage you guys early on to start doing that, to study to gain a knowledge of your bride. We're called the same, this relationship with Jesus Christ. It's this investment in Christ and in this relationship. So in this, you know, knowledge, right, let me go back to abound. The dictionary version is to be present in large numbers or in great quantity. Right, so that our love would be in great quantity, in our knowledge, and in this context is the relationship between the person and God, right? And so knowledge is facts, information, and skills acquired by a person through experience or education, right? And so this relationship is to grow in knowledge, and with that we get discernment. And that relates to the person-to-person relationship, how we treat one another, a moral and ethical understanding. I'm sorry, I got to jump back. I skipped some notes. So, jumping back on love, and I'd like to go back to 1 John 4:1. And I'll try to read through this stuff fast, but I'm trying to really nail down this love, knowledge, and discernment, and our tendency to get distracted and focus on the wrong things. I'm going to start back in chapter 3, verse 23, and go into 4. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as he gave us commandment. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And I can pause there for a little bit. Do you guys know false prophets? Do you know any false prophets personally? I know one really, really well, and it's me. There's a lot of things I think about. There's a lot of things that I chew on. They're not true. They take away from what the Lord has for me. Even being here, standing right here, the thoughts that I wrestle with to do this, they need to be tested. Right? It's easy to focus on what I can't do, but God's bigger. And he can do things, but what's it for you? Who's your false prophet? What do you spend time thinking about? What's taking away from this love, this abounding love? What takes away? Or what's taking the place of? I just encourage you to ponder that. We're called to test these things, you know, whether they are of God. Verse 2, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. So in this context, John is pushing back against the Gnostics, who basically said that Jesus didn't come in the flesh. He was like just this spirit, but he wasn't all man and all God, as the Bible teaches. So he's pushing back against that. In, you know, either Christ is who he said he is, or he's not. And to be honest with you, most of our debates that we have in Christianity in the world really come down to that. Right? People can throw a lot of things at us, and all the why questions. But the fundamental is Jesus Christ who he said he is? And there's a lot of things are being thrown out there, but that's the truth. That's the truth every person needs to wrestle with. And each one of us needs to wrestle with that. Verse 4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. So now there's a piece of knowledge that's useful, right? As we can sit there in doubt and wonder what's going on. And I like this, how his choice of words are, you are of God, little children, right? The weak have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And we would do well to walk in that truth, to consider those things as we go about our day. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Right? And we can experience that, right? We can talk to people about what's going on in their lives. We just, not even necessarily in their lives, what's going on in the world, and or try to steer them in a better direction, and it's like they don't see it. It's like, you know, the bridge is out, and they are still cruising for it, and we can plead, and we plead, and plead, but they continue to go. And same with the things spiritually, right? It's, again, Pastor Brian taught this several weeks ago, you know, spiritual things, They can't be discerned in the flesh, and they are in the flesh, and they don't know, they're lost. You know, it's kind of like being above and watching somebody who is lost in the woods say, and you can say, like, this is how you get out, or a maze, or whatever, and trying to tell them the way out, but they don't, because they're lost. They're just doing what lost people do, right? And but it's upon us to do that. But as we converse and we relate to people, we can start to see those things that we try to share, we try to talk, but they don't know, because these things are spiritually discerned. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. You know, that's kind of a hard one. You know, because I don't always love. Sometimes a little rough in love not really abounding in that. But that's what we're called to be, for our God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. So another gold nugget of knowledge. Right? Just this fundamental truth that he sent his only Son in the world that we might live through him. That's precious and important to remember. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, or the atonement for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So again, do our love abounding more and more? Are we really good at this? Is there? I mean, if there was transparency and I could see everything, I hate to even say it, but there's probably bickering, there's probably backbiting, there's probably critique, there's probably things that are going on amongst brothers and sisters that aren't loving. Right? And the Bible tells us how to handle these things. But we have a tendency not to go that way because it's uncomfortable. Right? And we're called to greater things, brothers and sisters. We're called to this love, a love that the world doesn't have and doesn't get. But boys, does it scream. You know, in this whole conversation last week of love versus liberty, you know, and this dying to self for the sake of one another, for the sake of the weaker, so to speak, that really shouldn't be such a challenge. It really shouldn't, if we put it back in a context of who we serve. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Right? And then so in this relationship, in this growth in love, right, our motive should change. Right? It should go from what is right, right? When we're younger Christians, we like the rules and we like the boundaries of how we're supposed to behave, what we can and can't do. But as we grow in this love, there should be a motive change, right? It shouldn't be what is legal or what's my liberty, but what glorifies God? What can I do right now that glorifies God? Yeah, I might be wronged. My ego, my pride, my so-called rights. But is that what's most important? Because remember, we're not of this world. We're heading to a different place. And it's easy to get caught up in these things, these horizontal things. But we should be eternally focused. Heaven is what we got, my friends. And it changes things, that reality. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us. And his love has been perfected in us. There's another whole rabbit trail, but by this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. And again, going back to this context of little children, right? As he is, so are we in the world. the light of the world, we're called to be light of the world, as is Christ. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. It's another little bit of knowledge. Are you fearful? There's some crazy things going on in the world. A lot bigger things than COVID. How are we doing? This is perfect love. There's no fear. At the end of the day, what do we have to fear? Right? And further in Philippians, you know, Paul's saying, you know, your boldness, you know, it's a sign of judgment to them because you don't fear. They're threatening to kill you or beat you, whatever, and you stay, it's fat. You do not waver. You stand for Jesus Christ. And to them, it's judgment. Like, ugh, why won't they cave? What is it they have that I don't have? And that's how we shouldn't be fearful, because we serve a great God, and his love is greater than all those things. And also the connection, as we just talked about, this abiding love, us and him and us, we are a force in this world as little children, as light. We are here to push back against darkness, you know, and it doesn't necessarily have to be this in your face. Your love, your life speaks volumes. And we love him because he first loved us. Another great nugget of knowledge. None of this is of us. It's all God's goodness. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? In this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Right? So again, in this love versus liberty, right? This love, and we speak of it often, church, it is a super deep well. And I really think we just get the surface in what we're called to be, and the love that's been extended to us. So again, verse 9, in this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. And doing some, just reading other places in the Bible, cross-referencing and all that, several spots stood out to me, but Colossians 1, verse 9 through 14, stood out to me, because again, it's written by Paul while he's in prison. And just the commonality in this prayer that he has for the Colossians, right? The Philippians were already loving. They're already known for their love, and he's saying, you're doing all right, but there's a whole lot more you can do. The Colossian church, they were younger, and so he's trying to push them along a little bit. Verse 9, for this reason we also, since today we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Right? To me, that really stands out to me about Paul, how he's so intentional about his prayer for these churches. And to ask what you may, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled, here we go, with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And so why does he pray this? The knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Verse 10 answers that. It says, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So here we go again. Right? He's praying for all this understanding, you know, that we do increase in knowledge of God. Right? So through this knowledge, we gain, you know, this spiritual understanding. The more we know God, we gain spiritual understanding. And through this, we gain discernment. We make better choices. We're able to die to ourselves. And all this is the working of the Holy Spirit in us. verse 11, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness. So just consistency here, you know, the prayer of this knowledge and this understanding of what God has done for them, redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sin. I know I'm reading a lot of scriptures, but please bear with me. Please follow along. And I encourage you to go reread them. For there's just a lot of good stuff here. And let's jump to 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter's kind of doing the same thing as he is exhorting these folks. Verse 1, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of God in Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, right? Multiply to you, abound more and more, right? The same heart, this growth, this pursuit, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. So here again, right, he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. It's so essential, this constant pursuit of knowing God, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Right, so we've been set apart. Right, so we're partakers of this divine nature, and again, I think we forget it. But Spirit lives in us. And we're different. We've made new. And the reality of this, so as I chew on it, is there are a lot of people that don't have this reality. Right? We've escaped the corruption that is in the world. Right? The lost heart doesn't have this. They are stuck, lacking understanding. You know, and in this world where we like to talk of love and all this, the talk of sin and hell is kind of pushed aside. But that is reality. Right? There's two choices for us. There's either heaven or there's hell. And it's upon us to proclaim the good news, Lord, and to love these people. And that's our calling. And is that what the world sees? Do they really see that we're partakers of this divine nature? Are we different? Or do they see the same corruption? You know, this division amongst the church. You know, and Satan is overjoyed of the distractions, right? As we're supposed to pursue this knowledge more and more that it may abound. We might have discernment. We might love one another. No. We're going to fight over taco trucks. And for those who weren't here last week, listen to Brian's teaching and you'll get it. We get distracted. And that's not, we're not called to these things, guys. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith. So again, here, right, we're pursuing, we're adding. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. And again, the world looking in, guys, this is gold to them. They are hurting. There may be some here that are hurting. They don't have hope. This is what we should be known for. This pursuit to be more like Jesus. Christ said it would be love that sets us apart. And it's not the love of this world. It's this dying to self. Verse 8. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful, again, in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. And this kind of stood out to me too, because it's not always just divisions and things, the bickering that may or may not go on in the body, but it may be in self. Right here it says, who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, forgetting he was cleansed from his old sins. And we can have a tendency to live in the past. And we dwell, and we dwell, and we dwell when it's forgiven. And we pick at old scabs. And we kind of rerun through the pain, the hurt, the shame, whatever it is. Forgetting that he's cleansed us from all sin. It's all paid for. And we lose out, right? We become stagnant. We lose sight of the goodness of God and the richness in this relationship. We are forgiven, and we are free. And those of us who've been saved for a while, I repeat myself, I know. But I think we lose this. We lose the greatness of forgiveness. We deserve hell. We deserve punishment. And we get hung up on little things. We're forgiven. And it really, really should change the way we see things. God doesn't call us to keep repeating this. You know, he says he forgets it. You know, it's finished. And this is a very critical piece of knowledge for our love to abound. Because it puts a shade over our light. It dulls us. And it looks a lot like religion. It looks a lot like what the world sees elsewhere. Religion is the rules, the laws, and trying to earn following, well, the traditions. You know, I've got a note here about Jesus rebuking the legalist. You know, he says, "Woe to you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter in yourselves, and those who are entering in you hindered." And woe to us, if that is us. Right, if we're the stumbling block with our religion, with our rules, missing out on the calling. So we can do this to ourselves, we can do it to other people. And I encourage you to be mindful of those things. Because we miss out. We miss out on so much when we're stuck there. "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble." How cool would that be? Right? Stay focused. Don't let Satan derail you. "For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." So, don't get caught up on the taco truck, or who's eating out of the taco truck, or what they're using in their taco, right? Let's focus on the primary thing. Okay, and so why should our love grow in knowledge and discernment? Verse 10, "That you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ." So what does this look like? Right? To approve the things that are excellent. Right? We're supposed to gain in all these things that are bound. We would approve the things that are excellent. What are excellent things? Right? And we probably list off several things that are excellent, right? But I think our tendency a lot of times is to stand by the taco truck. They had meat from the temple, right? That is not, I don't believe that is the approve the things that are excellent. I don't think it's us going out sin sniffing and playing Holy Spirit. What are the choices I'm making? What am I doing that's good? You know, we read in Romans 15, the small groups, you know, and it just really stood out to me, you know, that we're to, in correcting people, you know, we're to love them, but to build up. And that really stood out to me, to build, and it's easy to tear. But building takes investment. It takes sacrifice. To me, those are the excellent things, to see people through the eyes of Jesus. And sometimes it's not saying anything at all. Or it's not getting mad at the person who's tailgating you. To me, that's my major weakness. Had it happen just the other morning, person tailgating me. I pull over, let him pass him. The first thing I did was gun it to tailgate them. I'm like, oh, why do this? This is so foolish, right? And so I back off. But that's me. That's my thing, my rights. Who cares, right? Who cares? And last time, you know, we touched on this sincere. You know, focus on, oops, I'm up here, I'm in the wrong one. You know, that we may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. So, you know, camping out on this sincere thing again, I shared last time, and most of you know, that this is in the context of when they would build a statue, whatever, out of stone, and if a piece broke off, whatever, they would take the stone dust and some wax, and they would mix it together, and then they would put it on the sculpture and shape it so it looked like it belonged there. And it was great until it got hot, and then it melted, and then the person that purchased it was a little upset. And let's don't have that, like this sincerity, right? This deepness of our love for Christ and love for others. Has anybody else had that kind of thing happen to them? Where you bought something and it had been... I bought a truck that was supposed to be new. And I had it for quite a long time. And to speak of how little I observe things, they had the 4x4 stickers on the bed. One side had the decal and the other didn't. And I had this thing for months before I realized that that was the case. And I was washing it and I noticed there was a section that was dull. So I got looking at it and got looking up under the body. And there was a bunch of drill holes, and you could see where someone had drilled holes and used a slide hammer, and they had popped that out, and then they put Bondo over it, and they painted it all back over. It wasn't sincere. I bought a new truck and got one that had been hit. So anyhow, there was a life application for Jim. But let's not have Bondo. Let's don't have wax. Let's be the real deal, right? And I got to be honest with you, right? Sometimes to love somebody, it's not natural. It's not our first choice. We kind of have to drag ourselves to do it, right? But boys, what a cool testimony to Christ. I don't feel like doing this, but Jesus, I know this is what you've called me to do. So I'm going to do it. So love isn't always this fluffy feeling. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's really hard. But that's what we're called to do. And without offense. And boys, this is a big one, and we see a lot of it, unfortunately, in the church. Right? Those that we look up to, those that we have looked up to, And their love wasn't sincere. There was hypocrisy. They fell. They failed. And there's a wound that lingers for a long time when that happens. And this relationship as brothers and sisters and the bride of Christ, there is a bond in Christ that we get tighter and tighter and tighter. And when there's somebody that we look up to or that we've entrusted things to and they fall, it is very destructive and creates so much hurt. And those of you who've been through church splits or anything like that, you understand. But as Christians, we can do the same. You know, and to me, it so often comes back to being a husband and a dad. You know, and, you know, if I were to fall, there would be such destruction, such hurt to my wife, such hurt to my kids. Horrible. Just a total letdown. And so for me, I'm passionate about that. I want to be sincere. I want there to be no wax. And I want to end the race without offense. And we're called to that. Sometimes it seems like such a lofty thing. We just read that Christ is sufficient. He's given us the tools, brothers and sisters, to do that. I'm so horrible at this. Look at this. I'm not even done again. I was supposed to finish this last time. I'll carry on. But verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Right? So we grow in all this, and we pursue, and we know the Lord more, and we're able to approve of things. Our life is not filled with hypocrisy. And in that relationship, he gives us gifts. There are fruits, right, as he plants in us. And we each have different ones, one of the giftings, but these fruits should be in all of us. And really, it's Colossians 3:8. I won't go there, because he's still nailing this knowledge that we need. But out of that is this fruit. And that's really what should be coming out of us. There should be such good fruit that there's no denying who we serve. And so with that, I just encourage you to chew on those three verses and that knowledge. And really, it's this pursuit of Christ. And it's just not knowledge for the sake of knowledge. But the more we know our Savior, the more it should change us, the more we should be like him. And on a daily basis, multiple times a day, ask the question, how am I doing, Dad? Is it sincere? Am I tainting anything of you? Can people see Jesus Christ in me? Am I doing okay, Dad? I encourage you to ask that. And I encourage you to say, Dad. Because it's a little more intimate. And I believe that we will grow. And we will have a greater perspective. We will discern what really matters. But for the sake of the Sunday school folks, I will close this in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this richness, the richness of this relationship. How much you love us. And Lord, I know for me, it can get just ritual or just common information, common understanding that I know you love me and get stagnant. Lord, but we're not called to that. We're to be light. We're not to be dim. Oh, we're to shine brightly in a dark world. Lord, to share the love that you've given to us so freely, not because we deserved it, not because we were good, but it speaks completely of your goodness, your generosity, and your grace. So Lord, I pray that there would be nuggets in this that would linger, that we would chew on, that would make us more like you, that would help us to see like you, that would help us to love like you. So Lord, bless your children. Continue your work in each and every one of us. Amen.